And welcome to Need for Speed Runnings, another one of those holiday spectacles.
Woo! You seemed like you forgot the name of our podcast for a second there.
Yeah, I did. This is the sixth one I've done this week. What show am I on? Oh, Need for Speed Running.
It's that goatee time of the year, so I've had to talk about video games a lot in the past couple weeks. Hi, everybody. I'm Luigi's Apartment. How are you doing? That's wonderful. It's so good to hear. I'm glad that your day went all right and you're joining us here. We did this sort of thing last year where we looked at a couple of Christmas games and we have decided to do it again, but we have some wonderful people joining us, including, let's start with the people who have brought a game for us. Ruby, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Ruby Hart. They, she pronouns work for today. I'm excited to be here. The games that I have for you, I'm going to be honest with y'all. When I was going through the Christmas games and the officially licensed games, there were a lot of stinkers. Just so many that were so boring to watch. You can only watch going down a Polar Express hallway with very replicated rooms a certain amount of times before the 47-minute speed run gets really daunting. But I do have a few, and we'll get into that in a bit. But it's lovely to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who's this other wonderful young man over here?
That's a lot of us.
Brad, I think that's you.
I'm so young. I'm 34 years young.
I was going to say, I'm older than you. I was
like, the young man in the Mickey Mouse shirt.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, I am wearing Mickey Mouse. Yeah, he's comfy. What's up? I'm Spike Vegeta. I've been on this show before many times.
He's back.
I'm excited to be here. I had to come back for the Christmas episode after one of my favorite episodes we ever recorded was last Christmas.
Yeah, because I wasn't
somehow. What, yeah, all right.
that's why it's your favorite.
We just got to watch some comfy Home Alone for the Super Nintendo? I think it was Super Nintendo.
The Super Nintendo.
And the Die Hard arcade.
And the Die Hard arcade game. Those were some... It's like, I'll be honest, I've been obviously going to and being a part of GDQs for 10 plus years now. Many years. And I never really watched the awful block. And last year when we were all chilling on a call getting to watch Home Alone and Die Hard, I was like, oh, I get this now. Getting comfy and sitting down in your jammies and watching through these just absolute train wrecks of video games. And man, jammies. Like Ruby was saying, there's like, yeah, rocking the Christmas jammies.
Yeah.
There are a whole lot of bad ones.
Oh, like, there's so many bad ones. Mm-hmm.
Did you pick?
So I have two games, both of which are very short speed runs.
Okay. Oh, that's so, okay.
Yeah, one of them, I heard that you did Home Alone and Die Hard last year. So going along that line, I picked one game that very definitively is based on a Christmas movie, The Grinch, which is a side-scrolling platformer.
That parallels Die Hard, the one that is very clearly a Christmas movie.
I was going to make the argument that my other one is the one that more clearly parallels Die Hard. So the other one I have is Gremlins 2, the new batch. Hear me out. So here's my argument for it, right? Well, Gremlins themselves may not necessarily be Christmassy creatures. The very first movie, if you just read the basic synopsis, it says, and I quote, struggling inventor Randall Peltzer visits a Chinatown antique store, hoping to find a Christmas present for his son, Billy. Throughout the movie, there are Christmas decorations everywhere. It is set around Christmas time. Yeah. There are scenes with carolers. So even though it is focused on the Mogwai, I also think there is a case that can be made, just like with Die Hard, that it takes place around Christmas. Therefore, it is a Christmas movie.
A lot of the motivations are built through the Christmas aspect. Yes, yes.
Exactly.
There have been video essays about this.
I was, yeah. I was about to say here, I'm gonna go ahead and pull back around again, and let's pick up Hobbs, who was not here last year, and Bradley. Guys, go ahead and say your names.
I have something I want to say. So my name is Brad, and yes, anything that mentions Christmas is a Christmas movie. Harry Potter is a Christmas movie. Eyes Wide Shut is a Christmas movie, one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Yes, but Harry Potter takes place over the course of a year every single time.
But they say, Happy Christmas, Ron. And I remember as a kid thinking, that sounded weird to me.
Fine. I'll give you... Fine. They're happy Christmas movies. I'll give you that much.
So anything that even has Christmas as a part of it is a Christmas movie. I'm Brad. Happy to be here. Love the holidays.
And Hobbs, you spent last episode in a carriage ride through Central Park with John McClane. How are you and John doing these days?
Right. We're doing good. Unfortunately, he's getting up there in years at this point. So he's only about... able to do about 1 to 2 action adventures per year now.
That's true.
So we kind of reduced the pace a little bit, but still a lovely partner for a ride through the park. I forgot the lore. Hi, I'm Hobbs, and I disagree that anything that says Christmas in it is a Christmas movie. However, I think that there are people who've got out there, Mikey Newman is one of them, have gone out and done excellent video essays on why certain, like what makes a Christmas movie, the themes or a holiday movie in general, the themes that end up creating one, and Die Hard is up there. It's a more of a Christmas movie than Jingle All the Way. Like it's
well, it depends on. To me, Christmas means consumerism, and Jingle All the Way nails that.
Yeah, but it doesn't have all the other themes. Trust me.
How many Sinbads? How many Sinbads are in your movie? Because the number of Sinbads in Jingle All the Way is astronomical.
That's true.
But how many Hans Grubers are in Jingle All the Way? So I mean, come on.
You guys keep making excellent points about good Christmas movie villains. Go ahead, Ruby.
No, sorry. I was gonna say, how do you feel about the fact that Bruce Willis himself said that he doesn't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Oh, that's...
listen, you got to be able to separate the art from the artist. Okay. And sometimes actors say stupid shit. That's pretty much what it is.
Spike and I both just looking off to the middle distance, like, okay, yeah.
Bruce is a big fan of the show. Love you, Bruce.
Yeah, we do. We do love you, Bruce. Should I play more of the Bruno album in the intermission again this year?
You do whatever you want to do.
You follow your heart, Luigi.
I think we're gonna play some more Bruno. What we have here is we asked Spike to bring a game and Ruby to bring a game. Do you guys want? Now you said Ruby, yours were pretty quick, so you got it. You think we can get away with two?
I mean, if we just want to do one, we can absolutely do one. But the world record for Gremlins 2, the new batch, is 7 minutes, 27 seconds.
That's
so
good.
So very brief. And then the other one, let me pull it up. I think that it was also a sub 10 for Grinch.
Okay.
Let me see.
What is Grinch on? Tell us about the Grinch.
So this one has a PlayStation 1 Game Boy Color and an adaptation for the DS. But I'm going to stick with the PlayStation version that was released in the year was I looking at the other one? Hang on.
I'm pretty sure Church and Sarge.
No, I'm sorry. I was looking at the DS one, which is 6 minutes and 34 seconds.
I'm down to see a DS speed run.
Okay.
Will that be a first on the show?
A first or a DS speed run? I believe so.
I think so.
And we don't want Game Boy Color because that's an hour and a half.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah,
I just don't want to stare at a Game Boy Color.
Stick with the ones that are sub 10 minutes. Any so I didn't realize Spike was bringing one. What'd you bring?
But, guys, just the Grinch has one entry. So they are the sole record holder.
Good.
Which is exciting.
Die Hard had two.
What is the name? Because I know a couple people who run Grinch games, but I don't know which ones.
Plink.
Okay, not the person I know.
Okay, I was thinking like Church with like PlayStation Grinch.
And I think Saiyans did too. I think Saiyans ran Grinch for a little bit. Yeah.
So I'm eager to hear what Spike has brought today.
Yeah. So I had a couple different directions we could go with this as well, because I believe, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, this is another short one that's good. 1989. Batman. Michael Keaton.
Definitely a Christmas movie.
That's a Christmas movie, right?
Yeah.
Batman Returns is?
I thought that Returns was more of the Christmas movie.
If we want to keep it bad, we can look at Returns. We can go that
I don't know if Batman 1 is, but it's that movie was a fever dream when
Batman
I saw it.
Batman Returns is set during Christmas. I don't know if Batman 89 is.
I said on a podcast recently, I do not know who let six-year-old me see Batman Returns in theaters, but that was a mistake.
Batman Returns is 22 minutes on the Super Nintendo, so that is a good length of game.
Yeah, so we could go for that. I was going to throw out, because I wasn't sure if we counted or not, was the Batman, the NES one, which is like 9 minutes, which is based on the original. It's got the Joker in it. Batman straight up murders him. It was their own take on it. It was kind of weird.
Is that the Sunsoft one?
That's the Sunsoft one. That game is kind of a banger, honestly.
I don't know if there's any Christmas in that movie.
If there's no Christmas, we don't have to count it. Yeah. So
I think Batman Returns is the direction we should go.
I think that is the direction we're going to go in. Yeah.
You know, here on NFSR, we've always been very rigid about our rules and structure.
My God.
We can't deviate from that, from our theme here.
This is the time of the year when the rules committee forms, like, we only get to actually like change the rules once a year, so, and it's during the episode.
It's like the time-honored and very good system of American healthcare, where you can only enroll in the 2 weeks, first 2 weeks of December or whatever. Yeah, no,
I don't know if I would describe anything as good and equitable in the American healthcare system, but that's not that's neither here nor there.
That's why we're trying to emulate. No, man,
let's speed run healthcare.
I'm cool with either of them. Let's not. I don't think that means, like, that doesn't mean what you think it means. Seems like a bad ending.
Yeah, it definitely does. Bad ending percent. Yeah, that's right.
Oh boy. But hey, another like big thing happened, Luigi, over the last like, you know, a few days ago, I think.
Oh, did it?
I was just watching Luigi's eyes searching for the thread that I was trying to...
God, what is he talking about? Did I get married or something? What happened?
He was like, I know you've tossed me a ball, but I can't find it. It's not... I don't see where it is.
Like, what am I missing here?
It is rolling on the floor currently.
I believe what Hobbs is trying to set up for me as a easy pitch is... Hobbs, do you want to talk about Hades 2?
I mean, I think all of us want to talk about Hades too.
That was, listen, there were a bunch of announcements made at the Game Awards. That's the one that my game heart is most excited about.
Yeah, none of them matter about Hades 2. I mean, there are some other cool ones in there. I know Armored Core fans are happy about that.
Earthblade.
Celeste devs have announced their next project. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Currently streaming. I can't believe we're doing this podcast right now, but they're currently streaming Game Dev.
Death Stranding 2. I'm very pumped. But we can talk about Hades 2. That's all we want to talk about.
Yeah. Remnant from the Ashes 2. I want to shout that out. That's the like, it's like Resident Evil 5 co-op and Dark Souls. And
I heard good things about the first one.
Seeded maps. Really good. Excited for the second one.
So I personally missed the first half of the Game Awards because we were doing the first step during it, which is always a mistake every year to do that during the Game Awards. What is the point?
I think you're fine.
but we were playing Donkey Kong Country and Keys was kicking my ass. So I missed the first half, and then I kind of popped into the Discord chat afterwards, and I was like, okay, what's the big news? People are like, Hades 2, it's real, we're not kidding, go watch the trailer. I'm like, holy shit, how is this? I did not think they were going to make a sequel to Hades. I don't know about you all. They've never made a sequel to one of their games, really. Like, they've kind of taken mechanics from their past games and learned lessons, but they've never made a direct sequel. I thought Hades, while they have it's the weird case where, like, I don't know about you all, but when I think of a game that I play and I'm like, that game doesn't need a sequel, it's so good. Like, I kind of felt similar about Ori and the Blind Forest initially. My thought is, like, there's no more narrative journey left for this game, right? Like, I don't know where they would go narratively with it.
There's a lot of Greek mythology.
I want to go beat the ever-living shit out of those gods that have been given the moons.
I'm mad at some god.
Like, I would love to beat the shit out of them. I didn't see the trailer. I don't know if that's the game, but
well, because a lot of the times my thought is that there's nowhere left to go narratively, even though I think they could expand on the gameplay, on the mechanics and stuff. They probably have more ideas around this. This was the opposite. I didn't think they'd ever make a sequel because I'm like, they can go a million directions narratively. Like, there's so much they can do there. Mm-hmm. But combat-wise and gameplay-wise, it's like, it was such a great package. And it's very complex in terms of how many combinations there are for all these different you know, mechanics and all these different things. How are they going to top that? Like, how are they going to do that again? When really they kind of already did, because they did the same thing in Transistor, but whatever. I was still just like, I'm shocked that they're doing a second one. I'm so happy about it.
It's absurd, because a lot of times when I see a game get a sequel, there's this immediate thought of like, I think there are a lot of first games in a series that are like, you look back and they really didn't age that well. And like the later games, they were like, okay, Sonic 1 didn't age that well, but Sonic 2, it figured out a lot of stuff. I would say that about the Crash Bandicoot games, a number of different titles going from Pokemon Gen 1 to like the massive jump in for Gen 2. Hades is really good. So I'm like, I really have no complaints about that game from a system standpoint, like anything it's trying to do mechanically. It's a wonderful experience. What are they going to add to it? I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. But yeah, that was a shock. We were all at Grand Pooh Bear's speedrun sessions, and we were just all sitting on the couch, and we're all three of us like, wait a minute. Hades 2 just got announced. We're all watching the trailer. We're being unprofessional as heck at the show.
So I definitely agree with you all. But one thing I have to say, I've loved Greek mythology for years, just studying how many different iterations of each of the stories there are. And Melinoe, this character who's going, or Mel, the protagonist that we see in the trailer, is a character that I've never heard of. But hearing just immediately her and this sorceress say death to Kronos, there are so many Greek mythological stories that focus on, okay, we as gods need to overthrow the previous generation because they're real screwed. We're going to, you know, set our own laws. So I'm fascinated to see how much of this pulls fully from Greek mythology and what they do with writing their own story. The first game did that so beautifully. So I'm really excited to see where they take this.
And I don't know about you all. I only caught one returning character in the trailer, which I believe was the voice of Hades.
Well, you see Hades in the trailer as well.
Oh, do you see him? Okay, I didn't even remember that you saw him. I just remember hearing him. And I'm like, what a bold choice for a game that people, you know, really got a lot out of these characters too. And for them to be like, I'm not saying that they're not going to show up. Like, I think that it's actually probably pretty likely that some do. But for them to just be like, in our first look at the sequel that nobody thought was going to happen, we see one recurring character, like one returning one. We don't see Zag. We don't see, you know, we don't see Nyx. We don't see anybody else. It's just like, nope.
Well,
you just see
Hades on the game.
There is a character that immediately was in the trailer from the previous game, and that's Darren Korb's music. I heard the first few twangs, and I was like, there's no way it's going to be another Hades game. It's just Hades, the same composer, and I could tell, like, this is odd sounding. And then when Melanoa, however you say her name, her eyes opened up, and they were different colors. I said, uh-oh.
So the only thing, there aren't many things that are confirmed about this, obviously, but a lot of people are saying they're pretty sure that she is Zag's sister. So the idea of this may be what is happening with her either years later or maybe at the same time in a different place. We don't know these things, but I'm so excited to see where they take it.
Same.
Ugh, need to know.
Can you imagine how many, Hobbs, you and I talked about this when the game came out. This was an indie game. How many just voice lines are in that video game for the 1,700 times you're going to die and like all the different potential like story branches you can go down with all these different characters and everything? How long just to record all these other voice lines is going to take? I don't know. It's an actor's wet dream when it comes to the thought process of all the voice acting that goes into it, because it is so.
Hades wanted 21,020 voice lines.
Jeez.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I highly recommend everybody check out I'm sure we've plugged this on the show before, but the NoClip documentary about the making of Hades. It's incredibly polished. Like it's a fantastic watch, and you get to learn a lot of really interesting stuff about the development of it. And one of the things is like Darren Korb would be sitting there making music right next to the voice booth. So he just like, we got a new idea for some line. Bam. We're just going to like, he'll pop in, he'll do it. He pops back out, and he's back on the music. And eventually they had to go to working from home because it was developed like as the pandemic happened. And even then, it was like, I'm pretty sure he had a mobile like voice booth thing that was just in the same room he was recording drums and whatnot.
Yeah, I think they only pulled in two or three, if I'm remembering correctly, outside hired actors. Everyone else were people within the company. And oh my God, they absolutely rock it. And they all played multiple characters too. So like Zag, the voice of Zag is also Hermes and Dionysus, I believe.
Skelly.
And a bunch of them double or triple.
Well, definitely Skelly. Darren Corbio was Skelly and Zag. And maybe, I think Dionysus. And like, I'm blanking on his name right now, but the Hades, the one who's voicing Hades does a bunch of voices as well. Mm-hmm. The narrator from Bastion. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name, but
One of my favorite mistakes from the Game Awards is you let the voice actor for Kratos, Christopher Judge, go up there to give a speech, and you try and rush Kratos, and like, he's given this beautiful long speech. I want to thank my mom. Dramatic pause for 10 seconds. And they start playing the music to try and get him to speed up. He's like, I'll just talk louder and go slower. And it just got it just got so epic. They're like playing so loud. He's like, nah, I'm staying.
I missed that part.
And it's so weird that happened because like Jeff was like, I don't know when it happened, but he became like the NBA Drake of video games. Cause he's just like, you can see like anytime he's up there with a dev, he's just wagging his tail, like just happy they're there, lets them say fuck all they want, you know?
Yeah.
So, just kind of being like, damn, I can't believe he played Kratos off stage. Like, at his show.
There's a time crunch. They have a schedule for things that need to happen. I get it, but I just loved that Kratos was soaking up the time. That's so funny to me.
Oh, another very wholesome moment from the Game Awards when the Ellie and Joel from the game Last of Us with Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson got to meet like the Ellie and Joel that are starring in the new television series. Mm-hmm. It was so wholesome. You could tell there was so much adoration between them all.
Yeah, it was fun. As somebody who hasn't even played The Last of Us before, like I recognize Troy Baker from stuff before, and just getting to see that interaction was really cool.
Oh, do if you ever get the chance. It's some of my favorite storytelling.
It's on the never ending list of stuff that I'll get to one day.
Too many gosh darn video games, dude.
Yeah, fact that they got the remaster and the part one, part two thing, like I'll probably jump into that somewhat soon. Yeah.
Well, speaking of games that aren't on our list.
maybe on a naughty list.
Yes. That's good. This is the naughty list. Is there anything, Ruby, can you enlighten us as to anything about these two titles that you've learned?
Yeah. So what I will say about the Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Don't spoil anything too stupid for us, but like,
we're watching a Grinch speed run.
So let me put it this way. You all have played the really, really generic, basic, like 80s, 90s side-scrolling platformers that don't really have any spice to them. They just want to be the Lion King for the like Super Nintendo really, really badly and don't quite hit that mark. That's kind of the vibe that we're getting from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That's the best way I can describe it. The Gremlins one kind of surprised me because the best way I can describe it is it's a worse graphics, much older Hyperlight Drifter. The way that the levels themselves are built, it's a lot of constant dodging of traps, making interesting jumps, getting around enemies. So it's not nearly as exciting. It's not nearly as beautiful. But for some reason, my brain instantly went to that with just the way that he has to move through the game. So again, do not expect Hyper Light Drifter quality. That is not what you are going to get here.
That's not what we're here for this episode. That ain't this kind of show. Yeah.
Exactly, Spike. So that's not what we're getting here. But if you're looking for a much, much worse version of that, that's kind of the vibe I got from Gremlins. So
it was made by Sunsoft, which they made some good NES games. We were talking about Sunsoft, NES Batman. They've also made some very terrible licensed tie-ins. I had Bugs Bunny's Rabbit Rampage for Super Nintendo as a kid. That game is hot garbage, and they made it. So Who knows?
Did they make some Game Boy games as well, or like Game Boy Color, that era? Because I know the name Sunsoft, yeah. But I didn't own like an NES or SNES.
They made Trip World, which is like the cult Game Boy darling. It's like Luigi's saying, there is a range to the quality of the games they made in the 80s and 90s. Mr. Gimmick, if anyone's played that, that's always a GameCube classic when they've had it. That's one of the good ones. Yeah.
It's not a name you can swear by, but it might be good. And usually the music's pretty good too. So
music almost always slaps.
Sunsoft had a lot of like the Daffy Duck, Speedy Gonzales, Porky Pig. They had the license to work with those characters.
They got that Warner's license.
Yeah, they got a lot of licenses.
There was a Game Boy Color Looney Tunes game that I'm like, maybe they made that one because I remember having that as a kid.
Oh, they probably did.
Okay, I have found the Gremlins 2, the new batch on the Gremlins wiki is quite comprehensive if you're looking for information. they describe the enemies. Reviews of the game were positive.
A wiki for everything. It's
Dr. Seuss for the Grinch, though. The Wikipedia page for Dr. Seuss for the DS, the Grinch, is... there's not a lot. Mixed reviews, 54% is about all it says here. Mostly based on the 2000 film. But that's all we got for that one. Sorry, as you were saying, Ruby.
No, I was going to just add, one thing to keep in mind is the Grinch game has a total of one speed run. The Gremlins one has 40 runs. Like, it has 39 runs on the chart. It's okay. Actually
that's
a
got a community.
It's got a community.
If that's got like 40 runs, then Spike, you know as well as I do that means at like... AGDQ 2012 or something, they were like, here's the hot speed game we're all learning in the practice room this week, and then everybody submitted it, and then nobody ever played it again.
That's, you gotta look at, like, when were all these runs submitted? Huh, they were all 3 years and 2 months ago, exactly.
I hear 40 runs for some obscure NES game. Or
NES.
I'm just like... that had to have been a GDQ treatment, like,
right?
So I'm looking at the times now that you've said this. So most of them were between 4 and 6 years ago. So it very well could have been a GDQ appearance. However, there are some that are like a month ago.
Months
ago. It's still
the 2022 meta.
Bring it back. Nostalgia's king.
The NES.
Because there also are people who like, there's like the fun. Everybody does like the random, you know, the improv race of it or something. But then people are like, no, actually.
this is pretty
really
hot.
Good. Like, you're like, I see there's speed tech here.
Yeah.
My PB is like under 8 minutes. Like, I could just, like, come on, just do this all the afternoon.
Dude, I've never ran a short game. Maybe Gremlins 2 will be the one.
Or Strider. You can jump back on the Strider train.
Do it, I dare you.
Like something you could actually like grind. Like, I did 80 attempts today at this game.
You want an actual
game? I run 3 hour games. Like, well, I reset. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah. Streamers, such a good one for that because it's like an hour to an hour and a half or whatever on your first playthrough. And then your second one is like 12 minutes. and then you just go faster from there. It's fantastic.
So I'm curious to hear about how a DS licensed, like they made a licensed game on the DS of a 5-6 year old movie at this point.
Was it that old?
Was there
that
just
point?
Like not another Grinch movie to like, I don't know, just slap Jim Carrey's face on it. Well, we have a new system to sell.
From
it
what
on
I picked
something.
Up on the extensive Wikipedia page, it was largely based on the movie, but the license they got for it is the original cartoon. So it looks like the classic animated version, but I have a feeling we're gonna see some references to the movie as well because they were marketing off that older film that is great. I just saw it in theaters last Friday. Big fan of it, but
I say if you get the rights to that, why on earth would you visually reference any of that 2000 movie? You're like, oh no, we have the good stuff. We don't need that.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited about Batman Returns as well. I'm on the Wikipedia page here, and in 2018, Complex website or magazine said it's the 97th best Super Nintendo game of all time. So,
hey,
wow,
I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's good. It made the list.
That I mean,
97th out of like, you know, 700. Super Nintendo has like an on average very good library. Like, there's a little bit of a jump from 97th best NES game. Yeah. Like when I make faces for like the audio for an audio.
He's back, baby.
Noise, I feel like, still gets it across. Yeah, even right. Just in the audio medium. Yeah.
I want people to be able to feel what that going on in my neck. Just like, okay, you know.
Well, technically, all of these games are good because they all have the Nintendo seal of quality. So
yes.
That's how you know.
The extensive research.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I also want you all to know that in my research, I did spare you from having to watch the speed run of Santa Claus 3, the Great Escape or the Great Return or whatever it's called.
Oh, geez. Like the Tim Allen movie, from that.
I feel like I just now owe you a favor.
Right. We all owe you a lot.
I just feel bad for Ruby now that she was like filtering through garbage, but funny. Put it in. All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I listen for you all. I'm happy to make the sacrifice. Truly.
We appreciate it. I knew there's a reason we brought you on.
Did you have another game in mind, Spike, as well, before we got sidetracked with Batman Returns?
Yeah, so
talk?
From there, I was just like, golly, I was trying to think of, like, other Christmas games that I know. And it was, if we want something that was real short, it's not a full run, but it would be the 20% portion in the Snowland of Diddy Kong Racing All Trophy Races. It'd be the 5 in the Snowland. That's a banger speed run, to be honest.
One of the tracks was used for the music, our intro music for the Christmas episode, because it's Christmas music. It's what I think of when I think of Christmas video game music.
Diddy Kong Racing is also just an amazing game. Like, even going back now, it's so much fun.
Hey, Brad, did your close personal friends ever get back to you about letting us use their super cool new song?
They said we're good to use it, yeah. David Wise and Grant Kirkhope and Kevin Bayless, the legendary creators of the music for Donkey Kong Country, creator of Diddy Kong, and soundtracks for Banjo-Kazooie, they're going to come on the show at some point, but they said we can use their new Christmas song they made as our intro if we want.
I love Ruby's face because she did not know this lore that Brad actually has met them.
I partied very hard with David Wise and Kevin Bayless. They came to a gaming convention. I was like, hey, you're the guys. And they're like, oh yeah, what's up? Nice to be here. We just got off the plane. We're from Britain. And that was terrible. And I'm like, you guys want a beer? And they're like, yes. And they just stopped what they were doing and followed us right to our cooler. And then we just hung out with them the whole time. They got lost on the way to the bar we went to. They're like, some teenage girls helped us. We were really confused because they didn't have any service. Yeah, it was great.
That's amazing. Sorry, Banjo-Kazooie is one of the games of my childhood. So I'm geeking. That's awesome.
I was thinking of like chunks of games that I know are like, we could just watch like these individual levels. Another one was Freeze Easy Peak.
Yes.
In Banjo-Kazooie, I thought about, or just World 6 of DKC Tropical Freeze.
World 6 is very good.
I was like, any of those would be a little compact, little 5 to 15 minute package you can watch if we want to actually watch one of the good games. But
I don't think that's what Christmas is all about, or the holidays are all about. They're not about having good times.
We've been naughty. We don't deserve good things.
It's about holidays and capitalism. That's what it's about.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They're about suffering through the bad times with the ones that you love or kind of love. And that's what we're going to do today.
Let's make mistakes. Let's drink some eggnog and get hecked up to some speed runs. Let's do it.
Yes. Good.
All right. Well, with that, you've learned about some new games that are dubious at best. And we're going to go ahead and watch those runs. We're going to go off and do our commentary for them. That is available for the patrons. Some of them are here right now as we are taping this, watching us do so. Hello to you some. So, we're going to run off. I guess we will have the links to all of these in the description because they're by different runners. They're different games. So, we'll get all of that to you and we will be right back. Enjoy whatever music I have chosen this time.
Do you have somebody special in your life that needs a great stocking stuffer? We need your credit card. Patreon.com/possiblybad. It's possibly the greatest stocking stuffer this time of year. Go ahead. Give it as a gift. Give it to yourself. You've earned it. You are a good person.
Stuff it in your ear.
Put it in your ear holes. We love you.
Merry ear holes.
Done. All right. We're good.
Amazing.
Good job, Brad. Thank
you. I did want to give a quick shout out to all of our executive producers of the show. We got, I believe, a new one this month as well. Thank you all so much for
you
supporting.
You could join these ear hole stuffers if you had. No.
Yeah, just $10 tier on the Patreon gets you the executive producer shout out. So thank you so much to Tom Mangar, Lucian Luponis, I'm going to pronounce some names wrong, Highly Gamer 01, Professor Hal, Brian Ward, Lisa Sleck, Ethan King, and Cassandra Lenhart. What's up, Rue? Thank you all so much for being EPs of the show. We would just dance down that way and say, baby, I'm going to take you home with me tonight.
I'm just going to bring up something important. Under Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas on speedrun.com, if you click show rules, it says there are no rules.
Excuse me?
No rules. It says no rules found,
That's
but there are no
amazing.
Rules. You do what you want.
What do you need rules for when you're the only runner?
That is the most chaotic energy, and I am here for it.
Golly. All right, I'm going to go speedrun the game with speed up right now. I ran out at 1,600% speed.
Good luck.
This has got to be one person that was like, this game has no speed runs. I'm just going to make myself a moderator, put the one run up there, and no one will ever look at it, and I'll be able to say I'm a world record holder forever, and that has stood the test of time.
And more power to them.
Speedrun.com gets pretty funny the more you start digging.
They look pretty proficient at this game. This is, How the Grinch Stole Christmas on the DS?
Yeah, they put some time into it. I was more impressed by the routing than anything else. In terms of, because it seemed like there were a lot of random decorations and whatnot that you could grab, and they had clearly put a lot of thought and time into which ones were the fastest to couple together and grab the right things.
Absolutely seemed like they had a very specific path, and it was all memorization of how the AI were going to move around.
Yes,
you have to give credits to skill of the runner even if the game was ugly.
This is definitely someone who had this game as a kid and played it on their DS and, you know, everywhere, because they're like, I got this game, and I'm pretty, because it's basically a crazy castle game with more rules and three, I guess, health, probably, because you can get hit three times before you die. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I figured something out about the game, guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I'm reading in the description on MobyGames.com. There are different kinds of Whos, all with their own habits. When the Grinch is detected, a mini game is started, except for the Sentry Who. So the one that you're damage boosting through is the only one that doesn't cause a mini game. Otherwise, sorry. This is exciting, but
that's devious.
Excited.
No, actually, that's really cool, because we were trying to figure out where's the rest of the length to this game. That's where it's hidden.
Yeah. And also, why were they damage boosting in some specific spots and not others? It now makes a lot more sense, because they had to get iframes to bypass the ones that would have thrown them into a mini game.
Exactly.
Things like that. And it did look like they were also using all of their health on every level. Like, they were pretty much always leaving that level at one HP.
Mm-hmm.
When you play the Grinch, you don't leave anything behind. You're like putting it all out there.
Yeah, that's the kind of run that actually would be like highly, highly assisted by having the commentary to explain that. Because once you know that piece of information, a lot of things start to click into place.
Yeah. Possibly the only fun part of the game, though, the mini games you don't get to see.
Yeah.
And there's no real like movement penalty other than like maybe a little bit. So it just was like, why? There's got to be a reason why they're getting it right there. It's not because, I guess, what, they take one hit to save two hits later. But no, I can't imagine what mini games are in that.
Well.
Oh no! Oh no!
Bradley, pull that. Brad.
Picture it with Bradley.
Where do we?
It's gonna be Luigi playing, you know, in a casino.
So Brad hears, Moby. I can't imagine, and he's like, "Well, that's my cue."
Oh my God, Brad, you went so far down this rabbit hole, and I appreciate the level of dedication.
Okay, so the Snoozin' Who's is the game. If the Sleeping Who catches you, and you use the stylus to touch all falling footprints. If Cindy Lou Who catches you, play Back to Bed, where you use the stylus to touch all the small Who girls and boys that walk toward the Grinch.
Sure.
Okay. And if the Sleepwalking Who catches you, you play Sleepy Walking, where you move the Grinch around the room without touching the bouncing Sleepwalking Who's. They sound similar and bad.
But. Yeah. And touchscreen based.
Mm-hmm. One where you have to touch all the boys and girls.
Any one of them would kill the run, I imagine. Oh, if you got a single, like a giga death at that point. There's no just, I'll keep rolling with the run. Yeah.
This makes the routing even more impressive because it's a global cycle, so
probably.
I assume.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oof. That's dedication. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe it's not very optimized, and we just were like, oh, I guess they know where to.
We're giving them
go
so much
the
credit.
Hey, man, when you're number one of one on the leaderboard, you're the legend.
Yeah, you're also last place though, so you know you might want to get back on that. You know, improve it.
Your only competitor is yourself. Really?
Is there a way to see obsolete runs? I'm now curious.
Yeah, there is actually. So you actually aren't really last place because your old runs are last place.
Here, I'm trying to find it.
You might have to go to their profile directly.
Okay.
But yeah. But that Grinch was one of the three we watched. It was
one of the three we watched.
It was one of all time. Yeah.
It was.
What else did we watch?
We moved on to Gremlins 2. Gremlins 2 was a honestly super sick run. Like that was.
Yeah,
that
this was
really cool.
My favorite run of the night that we got to watch. There was so much fun movement, honestly, for like a top-down game going on right there. Lots of just catching of cycles, lots of diagonal jumps. There were platforms, Luigi, that you brought up, like little conveyor belts almost that were all over the place where they could get little speed boosts off of it and whatnot.
And if you're going the right direction, they routed all that cool stuff in. So yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, just like with Grinch, there was a lot of health. Utilization for like damage boosting all over the place. They were finishing almost every level with like half a health bar left or half a heart. I thought for like a little 7-minute speed run, as far as NES games go, I thought this one was like up near the top. This was a banger.
Yeah, beauty and simplicity for sure. Like that's the best NES speed runs to a T are how do you take something that has like two buttons in it and turn it into a complex, run, a complex game and did that with this one as well.
They absolutely did. And the way that they use the diagonal jump so much, I have to think they like get a little bit more distance doing that or they like trick you into thinking you're supposed to go forward, but they've just figured out the perfect way to catch that edge. Like they used it so much to get around.
You love a game that has a diagonal that is just way out of line than forward and goes way faster.
Oh, God. Now I kind of want to look up if this has appeared in a GDQ to see if the theory was correct.
All right, let's find out. Well, to be clear, my theory before was not that it had been on stage at a GDQ, but that it had been in the back room. It had just been in a practice room. Somebody was like, hey, I got 40 copies of Gremlins 2. Who wants to learn this run?
Zona, this has happened before. The LAPD Cop was a game back in like 2012.
Pringles.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because it doesn't have that sort of Strider thing where a big thing we saw that you can just teach everyone on stage. It seems more like if you get good at this, it is sick as fuck.
Okay, yeah. I have an update. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Okay.
So in 2013, we said that most of these runs were showing up 4 to 6 years ago. In 2013, Mecha Richter ran Gremlins 2, the new batch, any percent in 1021 at AGDQ 2013.
God, that sounds so, yeah. Wow. That memory just shot back into my brain.
That's not even
back when it was
up.
Like the big red couch and the small room. Yup.
Wow. That's not even showing up on my search. There was another run of this game at AGDQ 2017.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was that Rich?
That was Endy.
Oh, Endy. Yes. Another NES speedrunning legend known for Mega Man games, DuckTales. A bunch of stuff, actually. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
That Gremlins one isn't even on, like, the schedule from 2013 that I'm finding, which does not sound surprising for 2013 right. GDQ. Like, it was probably just, you know, they had some time to fill. Who's got
anybody around? Got a 7-minute run you can do?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this run seems like a hard track on Guitar Hero. Like, it's a lot of really precise jumping, kind of memorizing where all the enemies are, and like, if you know what you're doing, it looks really sick when you're doing it.
Yeah, the levels actually flow together super, super well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know more about the bosses themselves, because it looked on our end like they just walk up to him and mash a fucking button and the boss is dead, but I'm certain there's a little bit more complexity to that. Actually, it's an NES game. I'm not certain, but I'm guessing there is some more complexity to it than that. And that is somewhere that I'd be curious to like follow up and watch a commentated run to find out. If you are going to try to do that, probably don't watch the 2013 one, because there's a decent chance it's not that commentated. But the 2017 one probably is.
Most likely.
That's awesome that it's appeared in multiple, too. Like, GDQ clearly saw the appeal of it the way that we did.
Yeah, I can't find too much out about these bosses. One of them throws tomatoes. One is a bat gremlin. One is an electric gremlin. We don't get to see a lot of this because we fight so fast. But the final boss is Mohawk in the spider mutant form, which looks exciting, but it goes pretty quick.
There were some giant killer tomatoes at the beginning of the game, and then they went away.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the crossover between Gremlins 2 and Batman Returns. We got a bat gremlin in.
Very Christmassy. Mm-hmm.
And both Sunsoft, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sunsoft. I didn't even think about that.
This is also Sunsoft. 66%
of this episode was some.
Batman Returns was made by Konami.
Oh, this one was Konami. Oh.
Yes.
Batman NES was Sunsoft. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's me. That was me.
Yeah, it was us. We did it together.
Nah, Gremlins was a fun. Gremlins 2 was a fun game, and that's one that I would love to give a try and probably hate how tough it is.
Right.
I don't want to go anywhere near that thing.
Yes.
You hope as a speedrunner, a lot of times you make the game look a lot easier than it actually is.
Yeah, and that is one where you can kind of tell.
Especially like NES games.
Yeah, but you could tell.
Even for how skilled he was at the game, he was taking hits left and right, and I wonder how many of those were intentional and how many of them were just how hard the game is.
Right, you're just kind of getting, because there's damage boosting, and then there's like getting by on the skinnier teachers. Like, hey, that's enough. I kind of have an idea of I could take this many kind of errant hits here and there and still get through the level.
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
When it's a 7-minute run, you're just going to take every hard path, right? Like you're saving your time to do a new run. If you fuck up halfway through it is, oh no, I wasted 3.5 minutes, like
sure.
Whatever. Yeah. So you're going to take the path of least resistance. You're going to go for every risky thing. Right. And just being, yeah, like that is one of the cool things. Sometimes you are going to take damage unintentionally.
Mm-hmm. It might even be so short it could be one of those games where like, yeah, okay, this run's done, but I might as well just finish it and you know, so that I know everything else. So I'm not really good at the first two levels.
Right.
And then there's the third game we watched, which I would say definitely the most mechanically complex, and I think also probably one of the more complex from just the speedrun like watching perspective as well. Like there was a lot more going on to it, a lot of grouping up the enemies, and it doing that in a lot of different ways. There were multiple boss fights, some of which looked extremely similar to each other, and a couple of which did not. Mm-hmm. But I think I personally enjoyed the I don't know. It's hard for me to pick between Gremlins 2 and Batman Returns, but I think I liked Batman Returns just a hair more, if nothing else, because of the beautiful animation and art in that game.
Yeah, and there's like, that's definitely a fairness to it. Like, speedrunning at the end of the day, you're also watching, this like routed, finished product, theoretically, you know, your final PB and whatnot, trying to like think of all your optimization, your speed, but you're also, that's on the template of this video game. And yeah. So sometimes it's like, hey, just this video game is pretty to look at. So it's really nice when you get to speedrun a game that also just looks really flashy and is nice. And yeah, for 1992, this was like very good looking for SNES. My God.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Easy to corral bosses or bad guys. And it looks like they were in control most of the time, as opposed to the brawler we watched last year where Die Hard was just chaos and death after death, even as an arcade game brawler. But just everything was in place. They knew where everything was going to show up. And just kind of kept everything, keeping everything corral was pretty good. Bopping heads of guys, throwing them through windows and just moving on to the next guy, whatever's fastest.
Yeah, there was like just enough different ways, like different utilization of your tools. Like sometimes, obviously we saw the stun lock that was on a lot of the bosses looked like kind of, maybe there was like a small resetting of the combo over and over again. It was like, I think Ruby and Hobbs both brought it up that like maybe it was something about like when the boss spawns in, you can kind of catch them before they get to keep going. But then you got stuff like that. You got like, sometimes the bashing of their heads together. I giggled every single time there was the, oh, I'm going to choke hold you. And like the Undertaker, I'm going to walk you over here, set you here next to your buddy. And then I'm going to punch you both out to save yourself that time. You're losing a little bit of time on carrying the enemy as opposed to hitting them. But then all of a sudden you only have to do one combo to take out two enemies, two for the price of mm-hmm. one. There was enough little stuff like that that I thought kept the run fresh enough to where like the 20-minute runtime was fine.
Yeah. And
bonus, if two guys spawn in there while you're undertakering a guy over, you get three guys for the price of one.
Yeah. And some moves that allowed you to, smash their heads against each other. So you're literally doing move sets that do damage to multiple enemies at once, having one person's grenade launcher launch against an opposing enemy.
Yeah.
So just constantly using the environment around you as well as the moveset you have. Like it was really cool to see the complexity of the movement there.
There's the one guy, the guy's holding a bomb. He's like, I'm going to throw it. And the guy throws it, and Batman just punches
the
bomb down.
That was the best part of the whole run. So that was great. I think that was one time he does that in the run. Just actually
punches
it out of the air, and it blows up on the ground. I was like, that's so Batman. They had that figured out.
The fighting was all great, and I liked a lot of the animations. But then out of nowhere, it's like, all right, we're having a racing level. Yeah, it's car combat.
It's like a Spy Hunter game or whatever.
It's cross between that and Rad Racer.
Yeah.
And I thought that looked pretty great too.
The boss truck in that level had so much health. Like all of these bosses have a lot of health, but like they were just shooting that truck forever.
Didn't quite match up to Duck the Fifth though.
Duck the Fifth was an awesome design. Duck V goes hard.
Who would deign to cross Duck the Fifth?
Can raise up or lower down. We didn't get a lot of time seeing that, but it looked like a very complicated boss fight.
Absolutely. The Penguin really didn't mess around. His umbrella fight, too, was pretty brutal.
A lot of umbrellas.
Like, only death in the run.
Yeah, a couple of hits from those, and you're almost out of health at that point.
Yeah, Hobbs and I have brought this up many times. We do commentary for marathons. We'll be like there's like one spot where the runner dies. And I always say, now this is a speedrun PB. You want to have the perfect run, yada, yada. But it's nice for people watching like, oh, that one hit did like 60% of Batman's health right there. Kind of always like, this is all the stuff I am, rigidly preventing throughout the course of this entire run. And if I let one through, this is what happens to me. So
we brought that up a lot in our Super Mario 64 episode, because there were a few mistakes here and there. There was like a bonk and a couple other things. And we were like, I'm so glad this was here, because being able to see that these are people doing this that are fallible,
this is human,
and and just knowing like, oh, this could be happening literally anywhere. It's really nice to kind of have that reminder sometimes.
with this one, we also don't get the 2.5D with some brawlers, where that was in a bit of Gremlins 2. Maybe that's why I'm also apprehensive about getting into involved with a platformer like that. But yeah, it kept everything pretty. There's some levels that have that, but there's also hallways, so you're not always dealing with that.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, that makes it a little bit easier for a brawler. Mm-hmm.
I think that the, I was just going to say, one of my favorite things, honestly, about watching a speedrun is seeing how incredibly they're doing. And then the one moment where they mess up because you get to see how they recover. There's something about seeing a speedrunner make a mistake and then immediately know, okay, I need to wait for this cycle. I now know that this RNG is going to change. And having that extremely intricate level of knowledge, I find so impressive. So that's honestly why I love watching like GDQ runs or marathon runs. You're not getting the most polished version. You're getting them adapting for every single thing in the moment. And that's one of my favorite things about it. It's so good. Mm-hmm.
God, I really hope every viewer watching feels that way.
I'm sure many don't, but, you know.
Right, I appreciate like viewers like that. Obviously, you are a speedrunner yourself, so like, that's what you look for. But, like, because, no, I'm the same way. I love watching people, you know, something goes off script, like, okay, I gotta do this now, yada, yada. That's so fascinating to me. But I always think as the runner on stage, when I make any mistakes, like, everybody in the audience is like, God. He's so terrible.
He's
so awful at this game.
Like, Spike, I feel like you'll appreciate this. I think that part of that for me comes from watching theater. And when someone makes a mistake on stage or goes up on a line, the audience is so much more there with them. So even though they may be thinking, oh, God, I made this mistake, it's about seeing the recovery and them continuing on with the play. It feels very much like the same energy to me.
I was going to bring up a similar thing where there's part of it too, where because we love to talk about these speedruns from the watchability perspective. Right. And there is watching it as somebody who is just a viewer, a passive consumer of speedruns and of this content. And then there's watching it from the perspective of somebody who is a performer as well. And, you know, works on these speedruns or cares about their performance at a GDQ. And so when you see somebody make a mistake like that and it moves off script, as a viewer, you could be like on the edge of your seat. How are they going to recover from this? How are they going to do? And from like the performer side of like me, I'm like, okay, but also are they going to be able to eloquently, you know, continue explaining what happened? Are they going to be able to once everything goes off script, are they going to be able to keep the commentary up? Or are they going to be able to keep the everything flowing? And it's kind of, you got to do both things at the same time, which is absurd when you actually think about it. And it's very neat. And I've always loved that kind of thing from both angles.
I think my favorite thing I've seen making this show is when we watched Carrie's Celeste run and something went wrong and she had to like dribble. Oh, what's my best friend's name? I can't remember now.
Theo? Is it Theo?
Oh,
Theo. Yeah. My best friend in the entire world. Theo. when she like dribbles Theo off of a wall
to stall.
It was such a great moment. That was so cool. And we were all like, that wasn't real, right? And like, no, she just said like, I messed that up. But like, oh, it just looks so good. The save looks so good.
Yeah. Incidentally, not to completely go off on old episodes or anything, but have since then like actually met and gotten to hang out with Carrarium. Lovely person.
Oh, she's wonderful. So like,
Carrarium is great. Everybody should check out her Celeste runs and YouTube videos and stuff. They're fantastic.
I thought it was magical when Batman punched a bomb.
Hell yeah, it was. I'm still on that.
I hear sleigh bells every time I think of it. So yeah.
stun locking the bosses, it requires it's fairly rhythmic is what it's saying on the message board here. Catwoman and Penguin can both give themselves iframes. They're hard to stun lock, but certainly doable. They can get iframes though, so it's all like they're hitting a very specific timing.
I was bringing that up when we were watching. I was like, this is the kind of thing that looks simple as all hell, and then you learn about it later when you go to like learn the run. It's two frames or one frame window or whatever, and they're just absurd.
I could do that. Yeah, did Konami make
hard
this?
As shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who worked on this? Goodness.
I think Konami made a couple of different side-scrolling beat-em-ups. I wonder if they made the Batman animated TV show beat-em-up for the SNES as well. Not sure.
Yes, this director, Yoichi Yoshimoto, also directed The Adventures of Batman and Robin, that one you mentioned, okay. Spike, and Brave Fencer Musashi. So pretty cool.
Oh, beloved RPG from the PlayStation 1 era.
Yeah.
Shout-outs to Power Forge.
Yoichi Yoshimoto.
Yeah. Yeah, Power Forge does run that. It doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm going to be completely honest. Thinking back, I've played little bits of beat-em-ups, but the only one that I beat full start to finish was called Pretty Power Sailor Moon. I was a big Sailor Moon kid when I was growing up.
That sounds like an Air Angel game for sure. I should talk with her about it.
Is it rad?
It actually is really fun, but it plays very similarly to a lot of beat-em-ups you've probably seen. But I think if I remember correctly, every one of the Sailor Scouts that you play as had slightly different magical abilities that you could use. And it basically took you through like the first few plot arcs of the animated series.
It looks cool. The character designs, the animation look fun. It looks like a cool game.
It was a good time. So, but outside of that and like occasionally touching, I think I touched the TMNT one once and then like the Simpsons one, but I've barely touched this genre. So seeing a speed bump was really cool.
TMNT Shredder's Revenge, the new one, is not a bad one to hop in with some friends and have a good time. And it very much is throwing tons of references and also just beautiful animation and is not absurdly long. Like it is a pretty compact package if you want it to be. And it up to six players. So I had a lot of fun with it.
Heck yeah.
For sure.
I've been playing River City Girls was free this week. So I played a lot of that. And it's like, this is exactly River City Ransom, but not slowed down at 8 frames per second. So
right.
I'm in.
Also great animation in that game. Beat-em-ups get such good animation. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Brawlers are fun. The speed runs are, like we said, they could sometimes be these just very routed things. But, watching them group up, like Spike was saying at the beginning, if you kind of see them working on how is the fastest way to get all of these guys on the ground with zero health, it's kind of fun because you're usually locked into a room. So sometimes sometimes it's Die Hard Arcade.
Sometimes it's just Die Hard. So genre.
Just dudes taking a shit in the background. So
I missed something. Hang on.
It's okay. I missed it too.
Don't worry, you missed.
Neither of us was here last year. It's
there are hockey playing samurai or something.
Think only us three have ever even probably listened to the episode too.
I started listening to it at one point. I don't remember why I stopped. It was, I don't know. I probably had to check on Bruce Willis, but
No, we understand.
But I wanted to say quick picks. Maybe we can close out on this. Just if somebody wanted to watch. Only if they were going to watch one of our very holiday themed games from this year, what is everybody's quick pick, Brad?
I don't want to go first.
Well, too bad.
It's not the Grinch. It is not the Grinch.
I don't know. With what we've learned, I kind of want to go back and see them like just skipping past all these guys.
The appreciation levels through the roof now. Yeah.
I would be interested in playing it, but. I'm going to go Gremlins 2. Gremlins 2, the new batch for the Nintendo. There was a lot going on. It's a fun, small speed run. And I think it's just got a little bit more flavor than Batman Returns. Batman Returns is a beat-em-up. You know what to expect. It is great. But Gremlins 2, there's just chaos. And it's the chaos I want in an NES game.
All right, Ruby.
Yeah, I'm going Gremlins 2 as well. It feels like one of those speed runs that it's short and it's playing, an older console which a bunch of people have nostalgia for while showing off some really cool movement tech. So and especially now that we know there were a few runs in GDQs, if you want to watch one with commentary, like they are readily available and at your disposal if you prefer that over just watching gameplay. But yeah, I would say Gremlins 2.
Mm-hmm. Luigi?
Oh, yeah. Definitely have to go with the ridiculously hard Guitar Hero through the fire and flame song of a 7-minute speed run. It was impressive to, the way they dodged through some of those, like, enemies were doing like spread shots, and you just got to make the right landing and move on, and at the last second turn a different direction when you land on a conveyor belt, and yeah, it's really impressive to watch. It's like a Mega Man game. I would never play it. It looks impressive.
Spike, are you also in the Gremlins 2 new batch?
I'm in the Gremlins 2. Yeah, I just like the levels, like, shockingly flow together almost as good as I've ever seen an NES game flow together. It was very, very fun to watch. Sunsoft is so good, and it was fun watching Richie take the game apart. It was a good time.
I'll be the odd one out then. I think Batman Forever was really fun. Or sorry, not Forever Returns. Batman Returns was a super fun watch.
He
but
really
again,
wants to get kissed by the rose on the grave. I'm sorry, everyone.
Just I think as somebody who doesn't have a ton of nostalgia for that era of platforming, the NES like era, I didn't really play a ton of games from that time period. It was like Super Mario Brothers 1, and that was on some flash port of the game later, right? I'm sure.
Like first two levels, yeah.
Yeah, first two levels, never got further. Too many ran into the first Goomba. But as I don't know, I was watching that Batman game. It's like, it's just a fun, like, I'm more engaged throughout it, just again, if nothing else, because I thought the art was beautiful. We were seeing different areas all over the place and a lot of different animation
really
stuff.
Great.
It was really cool. But you can't go wrong, except for the Grinch. You can't go wrong with the ones that we had today, for sure.
We had to have a little awful block in there. Yeah, I had to put one of the many stinkers I watched in there to bring you along with me.
No, it's perfect. Again, yeah. it's a metaphor for the holidays. You know, you go, you go home, you fight, you end up watching a movie together, and then everybody forgets about it by the next morning.
I mean, if maybe it's just naughty or nice. I think Grinch gets naughty, and our other two games get nice.
Ooh,
possibly.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's the new rating system. All right, was this game naughty or nice?
That's great. Actually, we should make that a thing for this episode.
What about Home Alone 2? And Home Alone 2 is definitely nice.
I would give that a major naughty.
Actually would have said nice for Home Alone 2, in all honesty.
Naughty. I'm going nice on
Brad's
that one,
naughty on
but
that
I'm also
going
to say nice on Die Hard.
Now, Die Hard is the star on the tree. yeah.
Everybody get around.
You mean you have to press Y one time to get it? In the whole game.
Next year we'll have to watch Die Hard Trilogy, a truly bad video game.
There we go.
That Keys and I did for here's how not great this video game was. Keys and I did it for the first like TFS winter special, basically, the first one right around Christmas. And we were like, oh man, this will be great. If this game is good, you know, maybe we bring it back every year, we actually get better. We turned away from that real fast. we played that game once. We're like, we're doing this show, and it's never coming back.
I mean, or next Christmas, we do a very Bruce Willis Christmas, and it's all Bruce Willis games.
I don't know. We got options.
Oh. I'm for that. I bet we could find some Bruce Willis Christmas movies.
Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah,
that's a Christmas movie.
Sure, there's some good stuff.
Definitely a Christmas movie.
I was going to say, thank you, Spike, for coming back. Definitely don't be a stranger. And if you all want to have Spike, like, want to hear Spike come back for every year, make this an annual thing for our holiday episode, then let us know in the comments on, you know, if you got comments on the podcast app you're listening to. Otherwise, you can let us know in the Discord. You can let us know on Patreon. And you can let us know in the live chat.
Yeah,
if
give us five stars and write a review that says whether you want Spike to be on every Christmas episode.
Mostly.
That's the best way to.
Yeah, mostly.
That's the best
stars.
Way to vote, actually.
I want a five-star review that just says, like, I don't want him back.
Y'all were great. Don't bring him back.
That'd be so
I don't want to ruin every Christmas.
He butchered Kiss from a Rose.
Next year, Spike, please wear a Mickey Mouse shirt specifically that is Christmas themed.
Yes,
that's my challenge to you for next year.
Of Mickey and everything. Oh,
it's like hidden Mickeys. Ooh, just you have a million of them.
Spike, tell everybody what you've been up to and where to find you.
Golly. So yes, I stream over on twitch.tv/SpikeVegeta, and I've been doing daily uploads to YouTube as well. Just VODs, just, you know, little stuff we like to play on stream. I've been doing a bunch of randomizers. I've been playing Cage 2s with Hobbs, of course, still. We can never escape that game. All stuff like Ocarina of Time.
We got to do a level 1 ABN, by the way. I've been having a lot of fun with those settings lately.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down. Ooh, keep us weak the whole time. Oh, that's
no, not exactly. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Oh, gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Yeah. All sorts of speedruns, all sorts of randomizers. I've been dying a lot in Pokemon Kaizo Ironmon. Taken the Pokemon Challenge Run world by storm. Gotta go through the entire game on one Pokemon. There's a myriad of rules to it. It's really hard. So anyways, come check me out on the stream. It's fun. It's painful.
They'll enjoy your pain, is what
you're saying? They do. Oh, my God. The laughing is great.
Laughing Destiny Bond, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Brad, when you're not having a luxurious beard and talking about speedruns, where can people find you?
I am generally in Whitefish Bay as an electrician. You'll find me in someone's house, probably in their attic, cutting wires.
If they're lucky.
When I'm not doing that, I do podcasts elsewhere on Hair of the Dogcast. Check out our latest episode. It comes out with probably around the same time as this, A Very Kirby Christmas, where we're going to drink a lot of Christmas-themed beers and talk about our favorite pink nightmare monster, Kirby.
And it is scary. Yes,
Eldritch abomination that he is. But yeah, check us out. Hair of the Dogcast, video games and beer. A lot of fun topics. We just had Spike on to talk about Final Fantasy IX. It was great.
Yeah.
Yep. That's me. Hot Dogcast. Check it out.
Ruby, what's up? How you doing? What's
Hi.
Going on?
I am Ruby Hart. You can find me at twitch.tv/RubyHart. That is spelled RubyHart. Right now, my channel is currently on hiatus because I just finished a huge move and I'm still getting settled into a new job and getting, you know, things unboxed. So I don't even have my camera out. Everything is dark. My key light's broke, so I have to get new ones. It's a whole thing. But once I'm back in a few weeks, I do anything from Let's Play content. So right now I am playing Inscription, and I'm playing through the Legend of Zelda series. And I also do speedrun streams, right? Either play speedruns I already know or am learning runs. The one I'm learning right now, I have turned my sights away from Untitled Goose Game for the moment because I'm kind of obsessed with Titan Souls right now. And Ooh. Really want to learn that run. So
cool.
That and the Pathless are the next on my list. I speedrun anything from Shadow of the Colossus. The Trikafecta, Phasmophobia. Like, the world is our oyster. So that's me. Did I do it? I haven't done anything Huzzah, entertainment in like a month. So I feel like I've just forgotten how it works.
That was pretty succinct.
That was
well met.
Awesome.
Hob, where can they?
Good luck following that, Hob.
Yeah, Hob.
What's up? I'm Hobbs, but you got to leave off the Z if you're on this podcast, apparently.
only when we remember.
You all know us by this point, unless you're new. If you're new, welcome. Hi. We love you. Thank you for joining. And
it's always somebody's first episode.
Yeah, it's true. Twitch.tv/JHOBZ296 is where you can find me 5 days a week. And then I also do a coding stream on an alt 1 day a week. But, you know, that one's more about accountability for me. Sometimes you got to do things for your own personal system. I've been doing a lot of Cage 2 Rando, been playing a shitload of Marvel Snap, mobile game of the year, absolutely deserved, super fun, and a lot of Scarlet Violet working on the Pokedex, the Living Dex, which I'm close. I'm getting there, close.
All shinies, right?
God, no, I'm not Keys. You know what I actually do? Whenever I find a shiny, I catch it and I give it to Keys. Because uh-huh. he's doing a shiny living dex. I'm like, no, I just want to do a living dex because it's the first time it seems approachable enough. Yeah. So I'm like, I catch one. It's his least favorite Pokemon. I send it straight over to him. Uh-huh. I'm like, gotta do it.
Enjoy this jump, love.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. But yeah, Google J Hobbs if you forgot any of the things I said. I'm not on Twitter as much anymore, but you can join our Discord. Maybe we throw a link this time in this episode. It's been a while, I guess, in the description for the Discord. Feel free to join. You could chat the podcast here. You can chat about anything possibly bad, including my stream. Luigi, how about you?
And Marvel Snap.
Hey, that one's not possibly bad. That one's certifiably good.
Fair. Hey, I'm Luigi's apartment. I make a show about The Legend of Zelda called Chat of the Wild. We are rounding out our season on Skyward Sword. I finished the game. I thought for the longest time that I only played like halfway through that game. I don't know why. I was still remembering things. I know why. It's four O's. Malt liquor, pretty much, is why I forget some of this game.
Didn't enjoy that one much on the first playthrough.
You know, but I apparently made it all the way up to the very end of the game. So I just did not remember.
Why didn't I just tap this one in, dog? Come on.
And yeah, also check out Remember 64, a show about the Nintendo 64, covering many games, all of them on the Nintendo 64. So yeah, check that out.
I found my first Nintendo 64 game I liked the other day.
Oh yeah?
Whoa, what was it?
Kirby 64 actually holds up, and the graphics look amazing. Like, I think a lot of those games of that time period, they don't age well, but that one... it's so simple, and they really play with perspective nicely while keeping it 2D. I thought it was quite charming, and I don't like 64 games, famously.
Very, very simple game, definitely not very high on the difficulty curve either, but a fun one nonetheless, if nothing else, for just like, I want to test all these combinations of powers. They're cool.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yes.
It just looks good for a 64
game. It looks great.
It's one of the few combo power Kirby games. Also a late on the system cycle game that came out like right at the tail end.
I can't talk about Kirby right now, but I want to, but I can't.
I can talk about that puffball. Anyway, we have been Need for Speed Running. You can find us on Twitter at NF Speed Running and Insta as well. And yeah, check out the Patreon at patreon.com/possiblybad. Do we have anything else we would love to say to everyone?
Happy holidays.
For the audio listeners, we are giving you holiday jazz hands.
Of course. A very merry Abed's uncontrollable Christmas to all of you.
Yes. Hopefully you're enjoying this time of the year. You're cuddled up with your family watching a nice speed run by the fire.
Cozy up.
Fun fact, Supergiant Games has a like 5-hour or 10-hour loop video of a Yuletide log, like a Yule log fireplace in the world of Hades.
Oh, really?
In the House of Hades.
Sick. Oh, okay.
So
throw that one up on the TV.
I know what I'm doing on Christmas. Yep.
That's wonderful.
We'll do 30 seconds.
30.
Sounds 30. Good.
Give me a second. Give me a second.
Oh, back. We got to wait a second.
We're not doing 30. Right. Not nobody clap. Right.
32.
30.
35.
Nope. I hit my mic. It was all terrible. We got to do it again.
This is the classic Hobbs thing he does.
No, my whole mic fell down.
50 seconds.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Wait, we all just went on 46 except Brad.
55.
Okay, 55, last one.
Like, there's some really cool stuff in that run.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, oh, crap, it's gone.
The thought.
Don't know where it went.
It's gone, just like it'll be gone in the edit.